Good morning, everyone. Anybody ever seen that movie Coming to America? Yeah, okay. I'm having one of those mornings. I'm very happy to be here. I won't scream it like Eddie Murphy, but I am very happy to be here. I've said this in the past. It's not every Sunday. Sometimes you have one of those days where you're just getting through it. Well, I'm more than just getting through it today. I'm really excited. There's a lot going on, and especially my family right now, where we've got a lot of transition happening, and we're preparing to move. I'm actually doing some work on the house back here. The kids are about to get out of school, and they've got all kinds of ideas of things they want to do this summer. It all costs a lot of money. They never want to do anything cheap. You know, they never want to do anything that's free. You know, like, oh, there's this great thing going on at the library. And they're like, well, yeah, but we want to go to that amusement park that costs $70 a ticket, you know. So, but there's a lot going on. And so as the summer approaches and as we get prepared for the kids to come out of school, one of the things I want to look at is what we'll call investment strategy. Now, when we think about investment or investments as a tool, most times it comes up in our minds as a financial thing, as money. You know, we think of investments like, you know, how can I do something, put some money into something, put some resources into something that give us a return on what it is that we've put in. To use just a common definition for investment, an investment is an asset or a term that is purchased with the hope that it will generate income or will appreciate in the future. In an economic sense, an investment is the purchase of goods that are not consumed today, but are used in the future to create wealth. So when we think of investments as a money-making tool, typically that's what comes to mind. We think of economics. And yet, what I want to do over the next handful of weeks is talk about investment from a spiritual standpoint. I want to talk about it not as the financial tool and thinking of it and, you know, investing in, you know, ways to build wealth economically, but spiritually building wealth. If I could get someone to turn that fan down just a little bit. I do this every Sunday. I apologize. I turn the fan up because I'm planning on being hot, and then I get up here and it starts blowing directly into the microphone. Thank you, Mark. So what I want to do is take the next handful of weeks to talk about what it means to invest not only in ourselves but in others and what God invests in us and how we yield that return. And so the title today is E-Trade. Now, how many of you all know what E-Trade is? You ever seen this before? Okay. Yeah, they basically, they're an online firm, discount trading, very popular. You see a lot of very cute commercials that aren't always necessarily financially related, but they get your attention, right? That's how commercials work. And so I want to start because oftentimes when we think of investing, we think of it, again, as money, but we don't always necessarily have the human touch to it. We don't think of it from the standpoint of people. So I want to start in Matthew chapter 7. And this is a roundabout kind of indirect way of talking about investing. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Now, at the very end of this reading, we see here that he's making it very clear in the sermon that you don't want to make a bad investment by casting your pearls to pigs. It's a waste. It's just a bad investment. It's not something that you do with wisdom. You know, you don't just give it to. Basically, what he's saying is, if this is not going to be appreciated, if it's not going to actually result in some type of return, then you're wasting your time investing and giving something in this way. And yet what we see before that, as he's talking about judging, because in context, what he's saying here is he's talking about judging other people. He's talking about looking at someone else's, you know, the speck in their eye, but you got a plank in your own. See, in context, what he's saying here is it's easy to see another person's faults. It's easy to see another person's problems. And in context of what we're talking about, it's easy to see when another person is a bad investment or when they're wasting what it is that God is giving them. But can you do the same thing for yourself? Can you see where God has invested in you and maybe you haven't shown a good return? Are you able to see when other people are wasting? And when we think about this, a lot of times the imagery that comes up, at least for me, is when we think about, and I'll hear people talk, okay? And we're all family here, so I'll talk very candidly. But when we think of people who are bad investments, people who are not worth the time, or they're just going to squander what you give them. And there's different examples of this throughout the scripture. But when we think about it in 2017 in real life terms, we think of people who maybe they are homeless. Now, I'm not saying that we think of people this way, but a lot of times people say, and you have some people that come down on the, well, you need to do something for yourself. I'm not going to give you money so that you can go out there and waste it on something, you know. I'm not going to invest in you. I'm not going to give you my money so that you can go out and waste it. You're just a person who isn't trying. Or this Nadia Solomon, I believe her name was, her nickname was the Octomom. Remember she had that fertilization treatment or something, and her kids are growing up now. But the point is we think of this, we think of like where we have people where it's like, man, you know, you have children and you keep having children and you're not financially stable. I'm not going to keep giving you money. I'm not going to keep giving you things and giving you resources and providing for you so that you can go out and continue the same bad behavior, so that you can continue in your same lifestyle. You know, we think the same thing when we see, I'm guilty, where sometimes my wife and I, we were talking about this, how we're kind of, for a long time, we've been in that financial bracket where it's like we've got kids and responsibilities and student loans and all kinds of stuff, and we don't make enough money to not have to worry about what we're going to go out to the grocery store and buy, but we make way too much money to get any type of assistance. And it's like I have a good friend of mine who, he isn't in the same income bracket, but he gets food stamps, he gets his little card, and he'll go and he buys groceries. And sometimes it's like, you know, you looking back at this and judging, it's like, man, you know, he has this money that's given to him to go out and buy food, and here I am trying to figure out where I'm going to cut corners. And we can judge in this way if we're not careful. You know, you say, I don't want to give you money so that you can go out and waste it on liquor and waste it on cigarettes and waste it on these things. And yet, what we see in this passage here is that when it comes to a secure investment, we have to ask ourselves spiritually, how much has God invested in us, and where is his return on his investment? How much of a return on the investment, the prayers, the Bible study, the insight, the spiritual advice, the wisdom, the friendship, the comfort that we get from the body of Christ? How much of that investment over the years that we've gotten have we made a good return on? Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, because I want to follow up on this and talk about this investment in this passage. Starting in verse 6 of chapter 1, it says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. We spent the last, it was about 6 weeks, talking about the Holy Spirit and this thing. And so we're talking about this investment here. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle, and a teacher. This is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that has entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So we see here, it says, guard this good deposit. The natural question is, what is this good deposit? If we look at this from an investment standpoint, and that God has placed a deposit on us, he's actually given us something and placed a deposit. We're that vessel, we're that bank, we're that thing that he's deposited in. And the question is, what is that good deposit? What is that thing that God has given us, that he's put in us, that he's entrusted us with? It's the gospel. He's given us the teachings. He's given us the truth. He's given us the answers. He's given us the manual. He's given us the ability to understand and appreciate what it is that actually brings real life, that actually makes it so that this life is not only worth living, but it's worth living to the full. He's entrusted us with this gospel, with the expectation that, like we talked about with investments, you when you invest in something, you deposit something in the bank, and it doesn't matter if it's a mutual fund or it's a 401k, whatever you do, you expect there to be a return. You expect there to be a certain interest rate. Some things yield a higher return than others, and we'll talk about that in the upcoming weeks about what to expect when you invest. But this gospel that has been deposited in us, he says he's entrusted it to us, and he expects us to guard it. So then the question becomes, how are we guarding it? How are we making good on this deposit, this gospel? In Galatians chapter 6, if you'll turn there, starting in verse 7, it says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." When we think about this deposit of the gospel, one thing that cannot be separated, and I've talked about this several times, but one thing that cannot be separated from the gospel and what Jesus did was that Jesus had to be a person. He had to come down as a person. He had to be God in the flesh, because the gospel and the truth of the gospel is very personal. It is impossible to carry out the mission of Christ and to go make disciples of all nations, for us to hold one another accountable, for us to be able to be a church to be his body without relationships. When we get together and we have communion, you know, we're to gather around the table and we're to share a meal together. That is a personal thing. It's just like when we get together for Thanksgiving or Christmas and we all come together as a family. We meet at grandma's house or mom's house or somewhere and we all come together. Those are personal relationships, personal dynamics. There is no way to separate the gospel of Christ and the mission that Christ has us on from personal relationships. Yet, if we don't take that deposit that was given us, get to take the gospel that was given us, the truth and the answers that we have, and make that personal, are we making good on that investment? Are we actually making good on what God has given us if we keep it to ourselves? When we think about the personal relationships, when we think about what it means to be entrusted with this gift, we think about how people need to be invested in. It needs to be shared. Anybody who manages your finances, the person that you want to manage your finances is then going to take that money, take that investment, and they're going to go out and they're going to find ways for it to grow. They're going to find ways to put it in other places so that it can be diversified. In the same way, God wants us to go out and diversify and move his resources. He wants us to move this gospel. He wants us to not just have this knowledge and we get together for Bible study and we wake up in the morning and we read our word and we have our little apps now on the phone and it gives us some scriptures and it takes us through a course and we read these things. But he wants us to actually then interact with people. He wants us to share with our brothers and sisters. When we see this and it talks about, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked, what you reap you will sow. This isn't just karma. This isn't just like, as it says, what goes around comes around. That's not what it's talking about. What it's saying is, if I give you, if you go out and you were to put something out, you know, you put out orange seeds, you put out, I don't know, I'm not a farmer. Ask somebody who has a farm. I don't know. But you go out and you try to grow something. The expectation is not only that I will put something into the ground and I will water it and I will take care of it and I will tend to it, but the expectation, if I put down orange seeds, is that oranges will come up. If I put down grapes, that at some point I'm going to expect the grapevine to come up. That's what seeds do. And a lot of times what happens for us is it's not just that we hold on to the seeds and we never plant them, but we plant these really bad seeds. We'll plant something that's negative. We'll plant something that's not spiritual and not of God, and yet we'll expect something different. And what he's saying is here, why would you expect anything different? See, when you invest in relationships, when you invest in people, when you take that deposit of the gospel and you invest it in other people, you get things like mentoring and growth and advice and caring, sharing. See, this is a word cloud that comes up, but this is what you get when you invest in people. See, if you invest in people, what will you get back? You will get back growing relationships and growing people. If you invest in yourself, you'll get back self. If you invest in the flesh, you will get back the flesh. If you invest in your job and your work, you will get back your job and your work. But then what happens to your marriage? What happens to your kids? What happens to your neighbor? What happens to your cousin, your uncle, your mom? What happens to the people that I care about them? Well, have you invested in them? And how have you invested in them? You know, nobody goes out to that field that they we're entrusted with and reasonably gets upset when nothing grows if they've planted nothing. If they haven't tended to it and they've let it grow wild. See, you don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be an experienced farmer to know that you have to sow what you've reaped. I'm sorry. You have to reap what you've sowed. If you don't sow anything, you won't get anything back. And what we see with the example of Christ is that he invested in people. He said he didn't value the things of this world because this world is temporary. Those things will pass away. What's the one thing that matters? It's people's souls, people's hearts, people's salvation, people having a right relationship with God. See, when you invest in people, see, you know, if you're an older person, that's why I picked this guy right here, random image, but this guy is volunteering, helping some little kids read. You might say, well, I don't know this guy. I may not even live near him or in his neighborhood, but I can help him to read. You may see somebody and say, well, there's nothing they can give me back, but I'm going to invest in them because they're a person, because they need to be invested in. They need to be given to. See, this is what Jesus calls us to do, is understanding investment in a different way. It's not just a monetary tool, but it's a way that we give to people. It's a way that we impart what he's giving us to people. So we come together and we have our Sunday school, we have our family groups, we have our Bible studies, we have our church services, we get together with one another, we spend time with one another. If someone's struggling, someone's going through a hard time, we encourage them, we build them up, we pray for them, we lift them up. Are we doing that for everyone? Because if not, then we're neglecting to invest the way the scriptures call us to. And so we have to ask ourselves, because again, and I know it can be uncomfortable and it's not something that we all like to talk about, but when we look at the person and we say, I wouldn't dare give them some money because I know all they're going to do is waste it. I know that they're never going to pay me back. No, I'm not going to. I know you need rent money, or I know you need some help with it, but I know you're never going to pay me back. That's a bad investment. I have to take care of myself. I have to take care of mine. How much has God given us? How much has he done for us? How much has he invested in us? And have we paid him back? Do we pay him back commensurate to what he's actually given us? Do we then take what he's given? Because a lot of times my attitude is, you know, and it's really common, it's really big, you know, this concept now of, you know what, I'm doing fine. Just pay it forward. But do we pay it forward? Do we pay forward the gospel that has been given us by then taking it and giving it to others? Or do we keep it to ourselves? And so I want to leave us with these few ideas and questions to think about as we go forward and we talk about the investment that God has instilled into us. Can you identify areas of your walk with God where you have not been responsible? Have you been a bad investment? See, the beauty of it is, and we're going to talk about this later in Matthew 25, where it talks about the talents, you know, and the one that was given five, and the one that was given two, and the one that was given one. We'll talk about this in the next couple of weeks. But the beauty of it is that in that passage, he says, while he was away, they went to work and made good on that investment. See, there's still time for us to make good on the investment. It's not like, well, you know what? Maybe I have been, you know, kind of a poor investment. Maybe I really haven't done the things that are required. But if you're listening to me, you still have time. You can still be a good investment. You can still take all the stuff that has been given you through God, through the people that God has put in your life, through the Word, the insights that have come to you, you can still take that and be a good investment. But we have to first be sober enough, humble enough, and honest enough to say, you know what? God really has poured a lot into me. I want to make good on that investment. Are you protecting and growing what God has entrusted you? Or are you letting it waste away? This is directly connected to what I was just saying, in that oftentimes we can be careless. It's not so much that we're stingy or we're selfish, but we can just be careless. You know, he said, do not throw things where dogs and pigs can trample it. We can just be careless. And we want to talk about being responsible. You know, one of the things, and we'll get into this in a couple weeks, where we see where Jesus ministered to everybody, but he had his core 12 around him that he was pouring his life into and investing in on a regular basis. He had Peter, James, and John. Those three, you always see them coming up, that were his closest confidants here on earth. They were the people who he took with him when he decides, hey, I'm going to go to the mountain. You're going to see something different that everybody else can't handle. See, the expectation is not that we literally run around willy-nilly and just throw seeds everywhere. We do have to be available and open and be personable and relatable, but there is something about being responsible with what God has given us. And so we want to talk about that in the next couple of weeks. What is the evidence of your investment strategy? And for that matter, do you have an investment strategy? Do you have a way in which you live your life, a principle, a set of core principles and guidelines that says, this is how I'm going to go forward and live so that I can make sure that when God comes back, when I have to face judgment, I can actually say, like the men with the talents, I did this. This is what came of what you invested in me. Do we even have a strategy? Because I want to help us develop one and come up with one, not only as individuals, but as a church. And then we have to ask ourselves, what have we reaped? See, because if you reap, like I said, if you reap melons, it's because you planted melons. If you reap oranges, I heard oranges over there, then it's because you planted oranges. If you've put down into the ground something, that's what you're going to get. And so you have to ask yourself, what are you reaping? Because if you're not reaping fruit, if you're reaping nothing, then we have to then be honest enough to say that maybe we haven't planted anything. Well, planting is hard work. You know, my grandfather was a farmer. I mean, I remember it's been a long time because he's been dead for a while. But I remember I used to look at his hands and I would ask my dad, like, what's wrong with Grandpa's hands? Like, you know, he's from Kentucky. He was a farmer and, you know, he did tobacco. And, like, literally it was like he had the roughest, toughest, like, just his hands just looked mean, you know. Like, the thing was, he was a hard work. See, farming is hard work. Going out into the field, clearing land, that's hard work. Even bringing in the harvest after you've seen things grow, it's hard work. It can be challenging. It can be tough. But if we have nothing, then it's very likely we haven't planted anything. And so we have to ask ourselves, how can we sow differently so that we can reap better? And in some cases, not just reaping more, because if you're getting all negative, bad stuff in your life, you don't want more of that. You want something different. You need to plant something different. You rotate your crops on different fields. We'll talk about this in the future. But the idea is not that you don't just keep putting the same thing in the same soil. You rotate it. You move it around. The idea is that we have to do something different if we expect to grow. If we expect to produce. If we expect to make good on this deposit. And finally, are you sowing or investing in the wrong thing. You know, a good person, a good financial advisor, a person who can actually help you and knows what they're doing will tell you when, you know what, this isn't working. This is not producing. You need to diversify your portfolio. You need to change some things up. And what I want us to really consider is what we see with Jesus, and that Jesus diversified his portfolio. You didn't just see Jesus hanging out with the Pharisees and the teachers of the law and whatever. No, he went to some places that other people weren't willing to invest. He was willing to invest in some of those people who were considered castaways and throwaways and undesirables. He was willing to invest in people that otherwise wouldn't be considered a good investment. My dad, ever since I was little, he's been doing real estate. He did it on the side. He does it full time now that he's retired. But he takes these houses that nobody wants. He does an analysis. He checks them out, and he invests in them as long as they're a worthwhile investment, because he knows that with just a little bit of work, a little bit of time, a little bit of patience, a little bit of vision, this house that is worth nothing on the market can be turned into something. And he used to literally renovate these places, rent them out. Now he's kind of more into the flipping properties thing, you know. Anybody who watches like HGTV, my wife and I, we stay on that channel. But the thing is, that's part of the reason why I've told you guys how I've been working on the Parsons back here. That's part of how I learned how to do these things, is watching him take something that otherwise seemed like it wasn't a worthwhile investment, it wasn't worth the time, and turn it into something. See, for all of us, we were that property, that rundown, neglected, or needed some, you know, tender loving care property. And God says, I'm going to invest in you. I'm going to invest in you. I'm going to put a little hard work, put a little TLC into you. And I'm going to have hopes that this is going to turn into something. And he expects us to do the same thing. The same way Jesus invested in people, he expects us to say, you know what? I want you to invest in people as well. I want you to rely on the Holy Spirit. I want you to rely on me. I want you to allow me to guide you, because nobody has the time and the energy and the know-how and the foresight to know exactly what's going to turn up as a good investment and what's not. But he wants us to invest in people. He wants us to say, you know what? I know this person may not seem like a likely candidate for my blessings. I know this person may not even seem like they're open to the gospel. I know this person may seem like they're struggling in their faith and they're not really interested the way they used to be. But I'm going to invest in this person through prayer. I'm going to invest in this person with my time. I'm going to invest in this person with my own personal sacrifice. I'm going to take my own personal things, my own personal possessions, my own personal monies, my own personal whatever, and I'm going to invest it because it's worthwhile. There are a lot of people who from the outside might think, well, this little bitty church, is that worthwhile investing in? Just like they might look at me or you or some other individual and say, is that person really worth investing in? See, God sees us for what that investment can yield. And if we're going to be like Christ, like-minded with God, then we have to see that as well. And if you're a person who has not committed to the Lord, the question is, what are you investing in? What have you reaped from your life? Have you reaped spiritual benefits? Have you grown spiritually? Do you understand, as everything that's going on, people are getting stabbed in London, all this chaos is going on, terrorism, all these amazingly just sad and horrific evil things that are happening in the world, do you have something that helps you to understand that spiritually, I have a relationship with God, and I don't see it the way that other people do? See, I'm investing in something that's going to matter many months, many years later. Do you have that understanding? Have you given yourself to God in such a way that you've committed to Him, that you've been baptized, that you've made the confession of your faith, and that you've decided, I'm going to invest the right way. I'm going to put this in God's hands. I'm going to find a qualified money manager, and I'm going to take that, and I'm going to run with it. Have you yourself decided, I'm going to invest with God? And if you have, do you need to change up your strategy? Maybe it's not working for you. If any of that applies to you, I'd like to invite you to come forward during our song of invitation and ask for prayer. We want to help. If you're a person who, hey, yes, I'm committed, I'm following Christ, and I love God, and yet I'm not seeing the results. I'm not growing in that way. Yes, I don't want to be that person who God has invested years and years and years of the gospel into me, but I haven't yielded a return. My investment portfolio hasn't grown. And that's something that you want to bring forward to the church. I invite you to come forward as we sing our song of invitation. But what I don't want us to do is walk away from here and not take a sober analysis that says, if I haven't produced, then am I making good on the investment that God has given me?